just like what was mentioned at the beginning, we have to read it several times. This is very important, to read it in a very exact way and thoroughly. There are many points where we have to discover more, where we can discover more if we read it more. Oftentimes we oversee something and we do not realize what the word is trying to tell us. Every word is very important. Sometimes even if we cannot understand the meaning, but it will come. But you need to have an impression of what is written. It could be that only in a week's time that the Lord will enlighten you. You must not understand or comprehend it all at once, but you have to have a right impression what the word is telling you. After that, the Lord will make it even clearer. For example, this chapter in Leviticus chapter 8, this consecration, only Aaron has been anointed, and this anointing oil will be poured out upon his head. Although other portions in the book of Moses were written that Aaron and his sons will be anointed, but here is written that only Aaron has been anointed in chapter 8. This is important because Aaron, as a great high priest, is a picture of Christ. In Hebrews, it was also written, or we read in chapter 1, that he who sits on the throne has the scepter of righteousness, and he loves righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you more than your companions. And this is truly so. No one is more anointed than the Lord. Why do I emphasize on this? Because I heard before that this or that person is the anointed one. Oh, this older brother, do not criticize him. Even if he's wrong, don't say it, because he is the anointed one. Yes, truly so. That's why even if he has done something wrong, no one dares to say anything against him, because he is the anointed one. Such a thought is definitely not. You have to throw that thought away. Only Aaron has this special anointing, or the oil that was poured out upon his head. And Psalm 133 also talk about that the whole anointing flows from the head of Aaron. Running down on the beard of Aaron, and to the edge of his garments. And also, although the sons of Aaron are being anointed, but not on the head, just like Aaron. If we don't read it carefully, if you don't read it carefully when the sons of Aaron will be anointed, or that if you don't read carefully that only Aaron is the only one that has anointed on the head, only the Lord is the only anointed one. No one else is anything special in the church. Although our function is definitely that different from one another, the measure of grace in Ephesians written by Paul, that we all have a different measure, but that doesn't mean that one is better or higher or has more authority or you need to respect this person more than others. There's no such thing. In the house of God, this is the most important, which is the one sitting on the throne. We have to see this. That's why the garments of the priests is special. Only Aaron has this special garment. He has his priestly garment. And the sons, they have a more general priestly garment. It doesn't mean that the older son has something extra. And the second son, also something extra, but lesser than the older one? No, there's no such things. The sons of Aaron, all the priesthood, they have the same garment. The same type of garment. And this is telling us something. In the house of God, in this place, in the sanctuary, only Aaron has this special garment, this priestly garment. No one else, no one from us. We are the sons of Aaron. They do not have it. We have to learn this in the church. Not to uphold anyone so high. No one can replace the Lord. No one is more anointed than the head. Only the head has been anointed fully. And that's why it can flow down. And through that we have been anointed. But this anointing comes from Him. No one is the anointed one. Praise the Lord. Such a small verse, but it tells us so much of this whole picture in the Bible. Often we have to see a verse to understand a verse. You need the whole scripture. We need the whole scripture so that we can comprehend it, understand it correctly. It's not about knowledge. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't know anything anymore. But a knowledge, knowing alone is not sufficient. But Moses did all that God has commanded him. Yes. But if Moses were just to just hear everything and not do it, this is not good. Then better not to know. But if we know, then we have to do it too. Otherwise, what is the use to know it? And then indeed, this knowledge will not just be useless. In the end, we will be judged according to what we know. Oh, you know so much, but yet you do not do it. Just like in Luke chapter 12, warning us that this servant who knew the will of the Lord and yet he didn't do it, he receives much stripes, many more stripes. As the one, the servant who did not know it and did not do it, but that doesn't mean that this servant did not receive any stripes. The ignorance of the laws is not an excuse. Everyone has to know. You cannot tell the police, oh, I don't know, I didn't know that I can't do this or I can't park here. still you will receive a fine. So that next time you will know for sure. But it's important to have the right knowledge, not to just know something, but to know exactly, and then to do it. It's even more important. And here we see so often that Moses has done exactly what God has commanded him. That's why Moses, it was written in Hebrews that he's faithful in the house of God. Moses was well known for that. Yes, it's good. When we are so well known for this, that we are those who do what the Lord says to us. We have to learn this in the Word. And in this consecration, I hope that we have gained this deep impression that the sacrifices, they are the foundation of our consecration. Without the offerings, without these different offerings, then we won't understand what is the meaning of consecration. Especially for us people, we think that we do not need any more offerings. If that's the case, then I have nothing else to say. The foundation of this consecration is the offerings, sin offering, burnt offering, peace offering, meal offering, swing offering. All these offerings are the foundation. If we do not have all these things and just say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you for your work, the Lord will not accept us. In the end, you will end up doing a lot of nonsense. You will end up even doing lawless things. You will do things which the Lord has not told you to do, and you will become so presumptuous. You do what you want. In the end, the Lord will say, go away from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is a serious word. That's why the whole church has to look at this consecration. They have to see this whole process. They have to look at all this, the whole process of consecration, so that all will have this fear, not just to do anything for God, but to see how holy our God is, and not He doesn't allow everything. If the whole church doesn't learn it, and the whole nation, they should know that our God is holy. It's not a simple matter. No one, we can't do whatever we want, as we want, especially with regards to God's plan in His house. And here we see the first thing is the anointing, what the brother mentioned. All in house of God has to be anointed. Without this anointing, it doesn't work. In all things that we do in the house of God, we need the Spirit. It's not just the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. Often I say, I am in the Spirit, in my Spirit. In the end, you focus on your own Spirit and you forgot about the Holy Spirit. What is our Spirit without the Holy Spirit? Whoever who joins to the Lord is one Spirit with Him. His spirit is mixed in my spirit, and we have to see what is my spirit without the Holy Spirit. My spirit is where the Lord dwells. All things in the church have to be anointed. All the furnitures, all these utensils, they will be anointed, and also the garments. Let's go on. We saw from this sin offering, this is very important, an ox bigger than the burnt offering for the consecration. For the sin offering is even bigger, you need a bull. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 2. If we are still being reigned by sins, or by sin, unconsciously, then in the end, you'll be out, then over. That's why we need a bull. Especially for the priests. If a young brother in the church sins or sinned, this will not have a influence on the great, on the church, or not an effect on the church. But if a responsible brother or a priest sinned, this will have a great effect over the whole church. This will influence the whole church. And this is a serious matter. This is not a light matter. I hope you all understand what I mean. We have gone through so many things, right? That's why the priesthood needs a bull as sin offering. We need to pay attention to this, especially for all who bears responsibility in the church. If we do not have this, then in the end, we will destroy the whole house of God. And we have seen this in Ezekiel. The Lord brought Ezekiel back to the temple and showed him what the priests were doing, what the prince were doing. In the end, the whole land was corrupted, the whole nation was corrupted. May the Lord open up our eyes. This is a matter that we all need to learn. And even if you are not a priest, or if you are a young brother, we still have to learn this. May the Lord open up our eyes to see why the sin offering is so important and comes as the first place before the burnt offering in the consecration. In this consecration, the sin offering is very important. All serving ones in the church have to pay attention to this. Many may have this liberty to do all things, but you, as the leading brother, for example, a leading brother among the young ones, or a deacon or an elder in the church, or as an apostle, like Peter, in the book of Galatians, when Peter withdrew himself, he was hypocritical. He withdrew himself. If a small young brother were to do that, that might not have any effect. But Peter was a great apostle. When he has done that, that had a great effect. Even Paul said that even Barnabas was being influenced. Even Barnabas was being carried away with their hypocrisy, and also those that were with them. And then Paul said that then the truth will no longer be there. The truth that the Lord, when He died on the cross, He has made no more difference. This dividing wall has been torn away. And He has brought forth a new man. But yet, Peter made this difference. This is in Galatians chapter 2, starting from verse 11. Then we will have a problem. We will then have a problem. Let us all learn. Especially those who are bearing more responsibilities. Because they simply have this function, not that they are of something. That's why Paul also say that in the Lord there's no partiality. It doesn't matter who you are. Paul, Peter, James, doesn't matter who you are. With the Lord there's no partiality. But unfortunately for us, we still have this problem amongst many other problems. That's why this sin offering, this has to be a bull. Praise the Lord. And then comes the burnt offering. The burnt offering is also important. Why do we consecrate ourselves to the Lord? Why this consecration? Not just so that we can do something for the Lord, but that our whole being, our whole life has to be for the plan of God. We have to lead a life which is only for God. Look at the disciples of Jesus, or the apostles. They gave their lives fully, not for themselves. Not for themselves. How often did Paul said that he had the right to do something, but he didn't do it. We do not have this liberty anymore. Indeed, if you are a priest, you do not have any more liberty to do whatever you want. Other people might be able to do this, but the priests, they cannot. They do not have the liberty. This is not so simple. The disciples of the Lord, they might have the liberty to do things, but not the Lord. John 17, we have to understand this verse. The Lord said, "For your sake I've sanctified myself." Oh, you might say, "Lord, are you not sanctified?" Of course He's sanctified. What does that mean? What does this sentence mean? John 17:19. "For their sakes I sanctify myself." The disciples, for example, if they were to go skiing, the Lord can't go with them. Or if they were to do something else, the Lord can't. For the sake of His disciples, He did not do. He sanctified Himself. It's not that it is wrong or it's bad, but the Lord do not want to give them the wrong impression. They might say, oh, look, the master is doing the same thing. And in the end, oh, we can all do everything. So may the Lord teach us further with regards to this burnt offering, to experience this burnt offering. This is very important. No wonder Peter said to the elders, be an example to the flock. Because what you are, the saints will follow you. They will be likewise. As the Lord was on this earth, he was fully for God. He did not have the liberty. He said, your time is always there. You can do whatever you want. But my time is not always there. That means I cannot do whatever I want with my time. These things might not be wrong or bad, but the Lord can't do it. We see that this life of a priest is limited, restricted. Whoever knows this burnt offering and takes it seriously as a priest, then you will see many things people might have the liberty to do it, but you as a priest do not have the liberty. You want to have a life fully pleasing to the Father. And this is the burnt offering. As the priest, as the priesthood, we want to lead a life which is fully pleasing to the Father. And we also see this offering of consecration. So the first one is the sin offering, and then the second one we have the burnt offering, and then the third one we have the offering of consecration, and then after that we have the meal offering with the swing offer. Wave offer, sorry. That represents the resurrection of the Lord. And we also see the bread, the show bread. The show breads for the Lord. Definitely these are the same show breads as in the sanctuary. We see that it is so important. We also have to eat the show bread. Just not take it for the consecration, but we also need to eat it. And then verse 27 in Leviticus chapter 8, and from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil, anointed with oil, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these things in Aaron's hands and in his son's hands, and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Verse 27, Leviticus chapter 8, and then verse 28. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar, on the burnt offering. They were a consecration offerings for a sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to the Lord. Yeah, this burnt off. Yeah, they were consecration offerings for a sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to the Lord. And Moses took the breast, which normally belongs to the priest, but in this case, Moses was a special person. He was the faithful one. Verse 29. This breast belongs to Moses. He took it, waved it as a wave offering before the Lord. For the consecration, it was Moses' part of the ram of consecration, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses had a part of this portion. And then said again that the whatever God commanded Moses, Moses did it all. And then verse 30. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of his sons with him. So thorough. On the garments. And then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Here we see, here it says the tabernacle of meeting, because there God wants to meet his people. And eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecration offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. This is the rest which was not burned on the offering altar for God. As I have commanded, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. That means this consecration is not just an outward, not just laying of hands, not just this blood having it outwardly on the ear loops and on your thumb, on your toe. But here it says they have to eat the flesh. Amen. Because without eating, how will you have strength to serve? They have to eat this. Oh Lord, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. Eat it with the bread in the basket of consecration offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. Verse 31. This is very important. And then, what remains of the flesh and of the bread, you shall burn with fire. And you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you. Praise the Lord. Indeed, it means, this means this is the whole consecration. 7 days means it's a thorough consecration. Our consecration has to be a thorough one. 1 day or two is not sufficient. 3 days? Sometimes we think 3 days is sufficient, Even 5 days is not sufficient. 6 also not. It has to be 7 days thoroughly, thorough consecration. Whoever who is not thorough, if you are not thorough, sometime somewhere you will stop. Just like what your professor told you in your university. If you don't learn thoroughly in the first year, in the second year you will not be there anymore. Maybe not the second. Maybe after 5 years, people might just still walk away. After 20 years, some people walk away. Some walked away after 40 years. Sometime you will walk away. If we don't deal with this thoroughly and have a thorough consecration, you might just walk away. Sometime in the future you might just stop. The Lord has to give us a deep impression on this. Every one of us has to know, if we want to do such a consecration.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus. Amen. And then in verse 34, as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. And this is also important, the atonement, so that we can be fully in peace with God, this atonement. You shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days. And you shall provide for the day, for the service of the Lord, so that you will not die. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you may not die. Today we do not die physically, because otherwise no one else will be left in the church. But even if you are spiritually dead, you will also no longer be in the church. If you are spiritually dead, in the end you are out. It's over. It's not. There is a spiritual death. Remember the church in Sardis? The Lord said, you are dead. Yes, you are dead. Here it says, so that you may not die. Do not be angry with Moses, for so I have commanded. Please, don't blame Moses. If you want to complain to God. So Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord has commanded by the hand of Moses. How wonderful. How wonderful. Praise the Lord. Learn this and read through this several times. Because of the time limit, we can't go through all details, but this is also not necessary. Praise the Lord.